This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, I'm Anita Rani, and welcome to Woman's Hour from BBC Radio 4.
Good morning, and welcome to Woman's Hour live from Doncaster for a very special programme called Who Wants to Be a Female Entrepreneur? Not only have we left Woman's Hour HQ for Yorkshire, I am joined by Paulette Edwards from BBC Radio Sheffield.
Yes, we're coming to you live from CAST, the theatre in Doncaster, and this programme is being broadcast on both BBC Radio 4 and BBC Radio Sheffield, which covers South Yorkshire and North Derbyshire. So that means we've got Doncaster at our bosom on, yes, around our bosom this morning. So Woman's Hour finishes, of course, at 11 o'clock. I will be broadcasting for 3 more hours, Anita, while you're having a massage, getting your feet up, whatever you decide to do.
That's exactly what happens. And can I just appreciate the fact that you got bosom into the opener of Woman's Hour. Thank you for that. We are also joined, you might be able to hear them tittering in the background, by a live, packed audience. Welcome. Going, aren't they?
Yeah, amazing.
They are made up of business minds, curious minds, Woman's Hour mega fans, and BBC Radio Sheffield fans.
There we go.
And maybe my mum. Today we're going to find out how to become a successful female entrepreneur. But before we do, Paulette, as you are one of the local radio presenters on this patch, could you set the scene for us? Tell us a bit about Donny.
Well, it's interesting to have this conversation because I think often when people say up north, they think that all northern cities are exactly the same. But if I look at the three that are kind of closest to us, I think of Leeds as the kind of big sister. She likes to put a dress on and go out partying, a little bit rowdy, likes everyone to know who she is. The middle sister, Sheffield, a little bit more pensive, thoughtful, more cultural. Leeds will probably disagree with that, but definitely a bit quieter, does things her own way. Doncaster, not quite there yet. She's a toddler. She's looking at her sister. She's not sure which one she wants to be. She's making a decision. She's biding her time. So if we look at the city of Doncaster, young city, toddler city, horse racing, St. Ledger Festival, 4-day festival. We've got the fantastic rich railway heritage. The Flying Scotsman was built here in 23, the Mallard in 38. A lot of wealth here. We've got the wildlife park. We need to talk about that. Among the 70 species, black rhinos, polar bears, we've got tigers and lions.
Ooh,
all very
cold.
Important. Yeah, they will be cold, but we're not dwell on that too much. So, second largest city in South Yorkshire. Big area, a very big area. When you drive through Doncaster, it feels vast. And it's got coal mining heritage. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago with the 40th anniversary of the strike, the miners' strike. So the closing of the pits caused economic difficulties, and the city has become more of a service city, in a sense. Good communication links to the rest of UK and beyond. And as I said, gained city status in May 2022. That was part of the Platinum Jubilee of Elizabeth II. So we need to talk about the women, don't we? The women Doncaster. Leslie Garrett, we can talk about her, soprano, singer, musician, broadcaster. Old school Avenger, Diana Rigg from Doncaster.
Legend.
Wonderful Diana Rigg. And we lost her recently, of course. And I went to an exhibition in 2018, the Rebel Daughters of Doncaster exhibition, which was celebrating the centenary of suffrage and talked about some wonderful women like Violet Key Jones. She was known as the railway suffragette because she travelled to and from Doncaster Station to make sure that she campaigned across Yorkshire. Sarah Julia Ward Oldham, she was described as a girl boss. She was born in 1858. What she did during the First World War is turned her home. It wasn't a two up, two down, by the way, Anita. It was a Houghton Pagnell Hall. She turned it into a hospital and was credited for that. She did amazing things. President of Doncaster's Women Institute, and she was rewarded with an MBE. Women, of course, we have to talk about the Women Against Pit Closures. Fantastic strength and force behind those women, keeping the communities going during the strike action. And also, we need to talk about Doncaster Bells. We need to talk about the success of that female football team. And, of course, the heritage is reflected by the variety of people here. Can I just squeeze in Violet Radcliffe, international adventurer, she was known as, in the Rebel Daughters. And she, I wanted to mention her because she's from Portland in Jamaica, which is where my mum was
You've
from.
You've got to give her a shout out.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the reason we are here, if you can believe this, Doncaster came bottom of one league table for opportunities for women entrepreneurs in the UK last year, according to the website money.co.uk, which analysed data from the ONS. And maybe this is a good thing because it's giving us an opportunity to focus on this new, as you've described, a toddler city. And you went off to Doncaster Live, which is a kind of careers fair for us, didn't you?
Yeah, because I wondered what the entrepreneurs of the future had to say, the creative minds that are probably bored in maths as we speak, the young women. I wondered why they, how they felt about coming last as in this way, that, you know, whether or not there was enough being done here to support young women with ideas. So I went to Doncaster Live, as you said, run by Doncaster Chamber of Commerce, type of careers fair. So I went there earlier this month to ask some teenagers what they thought, and I got some quite insightful and very honest responses from Ella, Abby and Imogen. Why aren't women in Doncaster setting up businesses?
I don't know, I feel like it's because they might feel like they're not good enough to become businesswomen. And then they just, like, dream of becoming a stay-at-home mum instead and let their partners do all the work.
So how you feel that you're going to be...
No, I feel like that's what people in women in Doncaster feel, because I see a lot of people who are, like a lot of women who are just, like, have loads of kids and, like, their husbands are the ones who are out working.
Have you thought about setting up your own business? Is that something you'd ever think of doing, do you think?
Yeah. I do like a clothing one.
What would you want to do with a clothing business then? Would it be selling clothes, making clothes? What would you do?
Like making them. Like on a little sewing machine, obviously, but yeah.
Like designing them and everything.
Yeah.
And do you think you've got the skills for that then? Is it something you definitely want to do? I want to set up a business, I want to make clothes.
Well, I would, but I just feel like... Well, that's what I wanted to do, but I just feel like it won't happen. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like it's just, like, the expense as well.
Like, you see, like, YouTubers, like, creating, like, brands, but it's, like, because they've got the money from doing that. And I feel like if you just grow up in, like, a small town, like, city...
So what do you mean then about growing up in Doncaster? I mean, a new city, of course.
It's because it's like, I feel like people don't really know where Doncaster is.
Yeah, like compared to like London and
stuff.
Do you think your school and your education do enough to give you the skills you need to set up a business or to think about your future?
I think college is like setting us up because we have this thing called PDBA where it like teaches all the stuff like outside of college that we can use to make a business. But in like my old school, they didn't really do much to help us. Like they just did stuff that I can't really think of an example, but they didn't really do anything that was like actually helpful.
So much to unpick there.
Well, actually, Ella, Abby and Imogen summarised what we're going to be talking about today. So they mentioned money, confidence was a big thing, role models, doubt, an interesting one, education. They talked about PDBA. I had to do a bit of research on that. So that's a course of principles of business, and they were working at level two with that.
Yeah.
So we're going to unpick all of that.
Absolutely.
Aren't we?
We've got a panel who will answer all of our questions. But before we introduce them, we would, as per usual, love to hear from all of you listening to us at home. What are your thoughts? Are you a budding entrepreneur? Do you run a business? Do you wish you were running one? What have been your lessons, the good days, the bad days? How are you encouraging your children, if at all, to go into their own business? What do they want to do? We want to hear it all, so do get in touch in the usual way. You can text the number 84844. You can also contact us via social media. It's at BBC Woman's Hour. You can email us by going to our website, or you can WhatsApp me or voice note us on 03700 100 444. But now to our panel of guests. Who are we joined by, Paula?
Well, Anita, I mean, obviously we've got a bit of expertise, me and you, but not enough to talk about these types of things. So we're joined by Rachel Stockey, Head of Entrepreneurial Skills at the Entrepreneurship Institute, the EI. Christine Hockley. Do you want to make yourselves known, by the way, to the audience when I mention you? Christine Hockley, MD, Funds at the British Business Bank, one of the small number of the country's female investors. We're going to hear about angels and unicorns from you as well, Christine, I understand. Emma Jones set up Enterprise Nation in Manchester, aiming to provide expert advice and support for small businesses. Akila Mohammed ran two nurseries in Doncaster. She's now starting again. She wants to open a Desi cafe. And Amy Furness, she was a nurse. She's now an entrepreneur, and she's got a dried flowers business. Give them a round of applause.
Yes, welcome. So, Rachel, we're going to come to you first because you are Head of Entrepreneurial Skills at the Entrepreneurship Institute at King's College. Is it something you can teach people? Because it feels like one of those things that you're either born with or you're not.
Yeah, people tend to talk about it a bit like the Maybelline slogan, like... but we at King's College London, at the Entrepreneurship Institute, fully believe that it is something that you can teach.
How?
So I designed a framework that kind of breaks down what we mean by entrepreneurial mindset into seven key skills, which really help people get it. It's more accessible, right? If you can learn a range of skills, then you can practice those skills and you can get better at them over time. And that grows your confidence in turn. And actually being able to learn tangible things like how to be a disruptive thinker and how to validate an idea will help you over time, you know, spot opportunities and find ways to take those opportunities and make them into something real in the real world. So we teach that at King's.
We're not going to get into them right now because we will properly, but go on, list your seven key skills.
So our seven skills are compel, disrupt, think lean, validate, commit to growth, build teams, and get it done.
That's
well
it.
Well remembered.
Well remembered. Yeah, well, she came up with them, so it'd be...
I think that's interesting as well, Anita, because we were having a conversation, Rachel, about whether we were entrepreneurial or not, and I was saying I definitely am not, and you, Anita, were saying
I just went,
yes,
of course
are.
I am.
But then you looked at me and said you thought I was, and I asked Rachel, actually, backstage, if she thought she could turn me into an entrepreneur. And what was your response to that, Rachel?
Challenge accepted.
There, right, so by the end of the hour, let's see if we can turn you, Paula, into an entrepreneur.
Let's see.
Is there a kind of character that you see in entrepreneurs, though?
It's a range. And I think that's the thing that sometimes puts people off, because they're often the representations of entrepreneurship we have are very singular. So the main reference points we have are, you know, Dragon's Den or The Apprentice, and it makes people think that there's only one type of entrepreneur. But actually, in my role, I get to see a huge number of different people applying their entrepreneurial mindset in a huge range of different ways. And I think that's what we need more of, is the broader representation of what it can mean to be entrepreneurial, because then more people will see themselves in it.
Wonderful.
I'm going to talk to Amy now. So, Amy, you are a local startup. You, Amy Furness, sell dry flowers, but you were a nurse before that. How did you go from nurse to becoming an entrepreneur then?
So I started my business while I was nursing, and just did it sort of alongside working evenings and weekends. And then it sort of... the side hustle just grew into something bigger and bigger, yeah. So we started up at home. The house was completely chaos, as you can imagine. Boxes, flowers everywhere. But we just made it work. We worked till early hours. Then I got up, did my 9-till-5 job. I worked as a practice nurse, so I worked Monday to Friday. And then used to come home and then work up until... like 1 and 2 in the morning, wrapping parcels and getting stuff ready for people. Yeah,
would you say it was worth it?
100%. At the time, if you'd asked me that, I used to go to work and think, I used to dread going home because of the mess. You usually go home to just be nice and clean and quiet, have your tea. And I can remember just moving Pampers aside to put my dinner plate there to eat my dinner and then move the plate aside and just carry on wrapping. Yeah, it was not something that you could have done for a long time, really.
But where did that idea, the first inkling that you wanted to do something different, come from?
So I was redecorating my house because when we bought the house, it needed renovating. So I was at the final stages of adding all the nice, homey parts. And I couldn't find Pampas grass anywhere for sale. That's really where it started. I just went on the hunt looking for them. And I thought, surely, if I'm looking for Pampas grass for my house, there's other people out there who are looking for the same. And, I had to make an order with a wholesaler, which had to be of a certain amount of money because they wouldn't allow me just to buy three stems what I wanted for my vase at home. So I ended up with this massive box of Pampas coming. I thought, like, what am I even going to do with all this? I can remember my husband said, wow, like, what's going on? I thought there's definitely a gap in the market. And I've always kept an open mind. Like, I've always thought I need to be... I've always just thought I can definitely do something. I want to just do something for myself, and that were it, yeah.
And do you know what they say about Pampas grass, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Well, I didn't until I started, and then I thought, I hope people don't think that...
I'll tell you later.
Am I the only person in the room, isn't it? And now you've got your husband working with you as well.
Yeah, so we do it together, yeah. Me and him do it together around the kids. It's a bit chaotic, but we make it work, so... Yeah, it's really good. We enjoy it, yeah.
Wonderful. I'm going to bring in Emma Jones, who is someone who's dedicated to helping the entrepreneurial community. Emma started and sold her first business by the age of 27. I mean, what were the rest of us doing? And in 2005, she set up Enterprise Nation in Manchester, and you now provide expert advice and support small businesses. But not only that, you've basically got 120,000 founders as members. 60% of them are women, and some of them are from Doncaster. So what, I mean, that's incredible just to have that percentage. So what are you doing that has encouraged so many women come to you?
Great question. I also don't know what Pampas grass is either.
Thank you.
So maybe we can come to that later.
I've brought some. I'll show you.
Of course you have. This is the great thing that entrepreneurs do, always pitching. So what do we do at Enterprise Nation? We support small businesses. So we help people start and grow their own business. And as you say, Anita, I kind of started this business about 17 years ago. Very much seeing that more people would decide to start their own company. So I was actually inspired to start the business reading a book called Free Agent Nation, which was written all about the US economy, where there was the author, Dan Pink, was talking about the rise of the self-employed in the States. And I read this, and I was in Manchester at the time, and I thought, I think the same thing is going to happen in the UK. People will have side hustles, they'll spot gaps in the market, they will look at their passion, their skills, their hobby, and they'll say, actually, can I turn that into a way of running a business? What we exist is to hopefully direct those business owners to support. And support is something that we think that you need across the whole of the journey from startup right through to scaling. So, you know, everything from how do you access finance? How do you do your marketing? How do you get your product to market? How do you start hiring people? How do you start exporting? The job of a business owner is never done. So Enterprise Nation exists to be that friendly place where hopefully business owners come to get some of the answers and to meet other founders who look like them.
And what kind of businesses are there's 60% of them are women who are with you. What kind of businesses are they running?
All sorts. But actually, if you look at the sectors that we're particularly seeing women are doing well in at the moment, wellness, fashion, food and drink, creative design services. You heard the young students on the call who were saying, I'm going to start a fashion business. I'm going to become a famous YouTube blogger. This is kind of what female entrepreneurs are looking at. It goes back to what is it that you love doing? And actually, for anyone who's listening who is thinking of starting a business, if you can start a business based on what you love, it really helps you when the going gets tough, because of course, starting and growing a business can take hours of commitment, lots of hard work. So it just really helps if you love what you do. So these are the sectors particularly that we're seeing do well with female founders.
So you did law and Japanese as degrees. Was there anything in there that led you to the world of being an entrepreneur?
So my history with entrepreneurship started a little bit before then with my mum. So talking about teaching entrepreneurship, I was taught entrepreneurship at the dinner table. So my mum ran restaurants as we grew up as kids. And of course, at the time, when you're 11 and your mum's saying to you, right, you've got to work in the restaurant this Saturday, you're not enjoying entrepreneurship. You're like, what? All of my mates are going out. Why is it that I have to stay and wait on? But you kind of learn these things. My brother and I equated when mum did well in the restaurant, that's when we went on holiday. That's when we got the nice trainers that we wanted. So that was kind of my introduction to entrepreneurship. And Lauren Japanese, as you say, gave me the logistical foundations, I guess, that you need to do things like business planning. You always need a good legal mind to get your contracts right. But actually, I spent a year in Japan, which was where I started my first business. So I started a business there teaching English to Japanese kids. And just one slight thing in terms of a cultural difference, what you see in Japan is a huge work ethic and commitment. Mm. And again, I kind of come back to this point of when starting and growing a business, so many businesses start as a side hustle. But when you go full time into the business, it kind of requires that level of commitment. So you pick up learnings along the way.
I'm loving the use of side hustle. I love that as a whole concept. So we're going to talk to Akila Mohammed now. She ran two nurseries in Doncaster, was looking to grow her business until sadly she lost her husband. She found it necessary to close both to concentrate on her family, understandably. 5 years on, Akila has set up Healthy Her, a not-for-profit group to empower Muslim women. She's self-employed as an advisor about community engagement and has a new venture in mind to open a Desi Cafe. We need to say as well that you were nominated in our Make a Difference Awards on BBC Radio Sheffield in 2023. So that's all important to say as well. So you're passionate about role models and networking, Akila. Mm-hmm. How important has that been to get you to where you are now? Because you're just about to embark on another business, aren't you?
Well, I'm thinking about it.
Oh, you're just thinking.
And I think I'm the right ladies here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You might be convinced by the end.
Yeah. I think it's really, really important that we, as coming from a woman from a different culture, that our young girls see us in certain places and within businesses. And I think, you know, especially in Doncaster, it's a very small city in that sense, that we're not as big as Sheffield, where multiculturally there's a lot of different nationalities. So I think for the girls in Doncaster and the women in Doncaster to see somebody doing well and somebody actually opening their own business. And when I opened the nursery, it was really difficult for me because there was nobody like me. There was no other Muslim women or Asian women that were running their own business. And I had different things within business that would affect me that would not affect my other counterparts, the other English white ladies that run the nurseries. We have them other layers of culturally not being strong women, I guess. But again, my dad owned a restaurant in Doncaster, and I kind of saw him. He was very entrepreneurial and did lots and lots of different things in Doncaster businesses. So I think I was very lucky that I had him as somebody that I could, you know, who would support me and give me good advice. Definitely, I think for women, it's really important that we have them really positive, good role models.
And I was thinking about this as I was talking to young women, as I've been interviewing business women, I was thinking, is it about having an idea? And you say it's more than about having an idea, Akila.
Yeah, I think it is sometimes. I think it's that support and knowing that somebody could help you with that. I think you do have the idea. You have to have an idea, don't you?
Does the idea come first, or just wanting to start a business come first? Which comes, chicken egg situation, which comes first?
I think with me personally, it was I had an idea, and it was actually I used to work in Sheffield, and it was seeing other nurseries and thinking, I could do better than this. Actually, I don't think, you know, would I send my child here? No. So what should I do? Actually, I'm going to go out and then open my own and make it, you know, just give this provision a really good kids a really good provision. So I think mine was the idea. And then it was that, and you have to have that passion, absolutely. I think you have to have that passion.
It's problem solving as well, isn't it? Because you, same with Amy, you both thought, I could do this. No one else is doing it, and I could do it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wonder what those extra layers were that you were talking about, that as an Asian woman that you come with.
I think one within society we're seen as sort of stereotyped as, you know, staying at home and you know, cooking and cleaning and looking after your husband, and I was very much fighting against that and thought, no, actually, you know, I want to go out there and I want to do something myself. And I kind of, in a way, prove myself to the men in my family and show them that actually, you know, we can do, you know, we can go and open a business. We can do something ourselves. So, and I think we have that little bit of pressure of, you know, actually, oh, you can't do it. And even when I did have my business, I did get sometimes men coming and saying, oh, is the owner here? Or, you know, is your husband own this, you know, this business? And I'm like, no, actually, it's me, it's mine. So, yeah, I think that we still do get that a little.
Well, earlier this week, the Prime Minister said a new female-focused investment fund will help the UK become the best place for women starting a business. Akhila, how has it been for you finding investment and getting investment?
Well, we were talking about this, actually. I didn't get any investment, and I didn't know about where to get investment from. And when actually Doncaster Chamber were actually great, and they did come to me and say, because they knew my dad and the businesses, they were like, "Oh, we can, you know, we can help you." But actually, I was very much like, "Oh, well," I was a bit scared because I thought I'm going to owe money, because I kept thinking, "Well, if I get some investment, that means I have to pay somebody back and I have to owe this money." But also, I kept thinking, well, you know, they do a lot of network events, and that was a big thing at that time. And I thought, well, I don't want to walk into a room of men. Mm. And that kind of put me off as well. So I never really went that in that area. So,
well, we're going to get into it now, because I'm going to bring in our next panellist, Christine Hockley, who's Managing Director of Funds at the British Business Bank, the UK's economic development bank. Because we know firms with all female founders, you know these facts and figures, Christine, received only 2% of venture capital funding in 2021, a figure that has hardly shifted over a decade. There's also a geographical imbalance. Last year saw 80% of venture capital investment following the golden triangle of London, Oxford and Cambridge. So you are one of the small number of the country's female investors. In an average year, your team invests £200 to £300 million. This helps fund high growth businesses across the UK and includes female founded businesses. Why is it so hard for women to get funding?
Yeah, I think, I mean, British Business Bank, what we're about is helping people get access, small businesses get access to the funding they need, regardless of who they are or where they are. So here in Doncaster, making sure that you've got the opportunity to get the funding you need to grow your business right here in Doncaster. And I think for female founders, I mean, those statistics are really stark, aren't they? 2%, you know, two pence in the pound goes to female founders. And we're really keen to understand why this happens. So, you know, we've done research into looking at why does this happen. And I think one of the things, as I go about working with investment firms, one of the things is that there aren't that many female investors. So it's getting better, and particularly at the junior levels. But I think a report recently said that 21% of those senior investment professionals are women, and that's all. And you might think, well, you know, I just want money for my business. Why does, you know, who works in the industry make a difference? But actually the research says that it does make a difference. So those firms that have got more people, particularly at that senior level, that are female on their committees, that make these decisions as to, you know, which companies get investment, then more female founded businesses do get investments from those types of firms. So I think that's really important.
Why is that? Why does that work?
Yeah, I think because there's different networks that those people have. So interesting. Networks are really important and interesting. You talked about your father knowing the Chamber of Commerce, so that got you into that network. And females tend to have different types of networks, so different types of businesses come to them for funding. And then I think also the decision making, if you've got a more balanced group of people making decisions, so more balance between male and female, then you get different investment decisions. So you might invest in different types of businesses. So I think there's, you know, there's many faceted reasons as to why that can happen.
And how did you come into this line of work then? How did you come into this way of working? Because it sounds dramatic what you do in terms of the amount of money that you're dealing with. Was it a challenge to get to here for you, Christine?
So I think, like most people, through your career, you weave your way through. So, you know, I'm a scientist by background. I then went to work in technical sales and marketing. I was really interested then in businesses. So fundamentally, I loved science and technology, and I loved business. So I went to do an MBA to kind of, you know, learn more about it, and then went into the investing world.
Is that easy to get into then?
I think if you're determined and you know what you want to do, then you can get there and do that. So I've worked in many different companies sort of in that investment world. And I think what drives me, and I think what drives a lot of investors, is actually that love of the businesses that they're working with, what people are doing, what the entrepreneurs are doing, particularly in technology, the new technologies that are coming to solve the world's problems, actually. So it's a fascinating business. And I think what people with businesses need to know is actually the people who are financing you want you to succeed. You know, they really love what you're doing, and that's an important message, I think, for people who are maybe a bit nervous about getting funding.
Of course they want you to succeed because they want your business to succeed, otherwise they'll be lending you the money. Well, we've got lots of business owners in the audience, and we have Akila and we've got Amy on the panel. I actually hung out with Amy yesterday. I went to the shed at the bottom of the garden, hung out with the beautiful Pampas because she's very gifted at what she does. So, well, let's talk about the type of funding an entrepreneur might want to achieve, because there's so many different varieties depending on what stage your business is at, where you're at, Amy, because you were talking about this yesterday. It's just you and your husband.
Yeah.
But you're at that point now where you might need a bit of help.
100%, yeah. Yeah, there's only so many times you can work till 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning before you just get completely burnt out. Like, most of my days are working until ridiculous times at night, and just jam-packed with all sorts of jobs.
So what might you offer Amy if she came to see you, and what different types of finances, what different journeys are there if you want finance for your business?
Yeah, so all sorts of things. I think when people are starting a business, you know, if you're a woman sat here in the audience, most people would go to, you know, the high street bank, the names that you know, or you might be really fortunate and you might have family and friends maybe that you can borrow money from, and that's great. You can start your business off, you can do your research, or you can fund the expansion of your business, but maybe not everybody's that fortunate and can't borrow money that way, and maybe the banks turn you down. But actually there are other options out there, and that's what we're about, making sure that we expand all those different opportunities so that you can build your business. So you might get a startup loan, for example. So startup loans, you can get them for up to £25,000. British Business Bank administers these loans, and what's really great about them is that you also get 12 months free mentoring. So I think you talked about helping you with your business on that journey. So you've got the money, and then you've also got some support to help you be successful. If you've got a business and maybe it wants to grow, you could perhaps go to an angel investor. So an angel investor is someone who probably has business experience, they've made their money through business, and they then want to invest in other people's business. So so they would take shares in your business, but also they've got experience and networks that they can help you grow your business with too. If you want more funding, or perhaps you know, your business is growing, actually we've just launched the Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund right here in the north yesterday, in fact, in Leeds, the big sister.
Yeah, showy clothes.
And that's a fantastic announcement, because that's £660 million worth of funding to go to Yorkshire, Humberside, North West and North East. For people who want to get funding from smaller loans down to £25,000, right up to £2 million, and also equity investment up to £5 million. So there's lots and lots of different places that you can go, different opportunities for different types of finance, regardless of what your business needs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So I did say at the beginning of this that I'd like to have a virtual party bag to leave with. You've mentioned the angels. So we'd all like to get something from this experience of being here today in this room with this expertise, and with, we're in a variety of positions, our audience. Some of us are like me and never started a business up. Maybe we'll think about it after today. Maybe we're in a position where we've got a business just starting, an idea like Akila said, or maybe we want to, you know, go to the next level with our business. So we're hoping that in our virtual goodie bag, we'll have all of these skills when we leave. You talked about angels, unicorns, I'd like in my goodie bag as well. What are they?
It's like a princess party, isn't it? Yeah. So a unicorn is a name for a business that's it's a $1 billion business, so it's grown, so it's a $1 billion revenue business, usually often a technology business, and that's the terminology that's used for that.
Exceptional. Things. Can I just say that you can text the programme, Woman's Hour, BBC Radio Shuffle. We usually use different numbers on Radio Shuffle, but today we're using the Woman's Hour one. So the number's 84844. Texts are going to be charged at your standard message rate. On social media, we're at BBC Woman's Hour. You can email us through our website, and you can send a WhatsApp message or voice note using the number 03700 100 444. Data charges may apply depending on your provider, so you might want to use Wi-Fi if you can, and yes. Terms and conditions can be found on our website.
Now we are in front of a live studio audience, so at any point if one of you has a question, we will come to you. Before we do, I'm going to come back to Rachel. We'll come to our audience in just a second, because Rachel, we're going to come back to your seven skills. You've got get it done, disrupt, compel, build teams, think lean, validate, commit to growth. Which is the most important?
That's like asking me to choose which is my favourite
child. Yes, I'm asking you to choose. You've got to make that choice today.
I would say if we're talking about someone who's starting a business, I would go with validate.
Explain.
Because this is, I think, one of the pitfalls that we see people fall down when they have what could be a fantastic idea, is getting really wedded to what it's going to look like and just assume that people are going to love it and want to pay for it. And actually, before you've started that business, that's just an assumption, and we have to prove that that's true. So validate is about how you do that assumption testing. How do you talk to potential real-world customers and find out their experience of the problem that you're trying to solve? So one of the thing for your goodie bag, my most recommended book at the Entrepreneurship Institute is a book called The Mum Test. And it's based on the principle that if you were to say to your mum, I have a business idea, she'd go, that's amazing, you're going to be a millionaire. It's fantastic. But she's biased, right? She wants to tell you what you want to hear. But that's just an exaggerated version of just basic human psychology. People like to be nice. So if you say, I've got this business idea, do you like it? They're going to say yes. But actually, the mum test principles teach you how to do like potential customer research in a way that people can't lie to you.
Yes. We have an example sitting right next to you, because Amy, you validated it by starting very small, didn't you?
Yeah. I would definitely say, like, if you've got an idea in mind, like, I didn't need to make that massive jump because I was working full time. So it's just sort of, if you've got an idea, I would say just go for it.
Well, you set up your Instagram account, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, set up an Instagram account. The hardest part was thinking of a name. Like, that's the hardest part. And finding one that no one's already used. But yeah, so just start your Instagram account, buy whatever it is, or if you make things, like I've got a lot of friends that make handmade things that are so nice, just do it as a side hustle, the word again. But yeah, just see how it goes, and if you fail, then you've got nothing to lose, like you could just work it alongside.
Can I ask you, can we go back to that young woman who's in a maths lesson? It's double maths and she's bored out of her head.
Yeah.
Can we turn her into a woman who's going to think about setting up a business? What would you say to her then? She's in Doncaster, she's in a maths lesson, and she needs something else to dream about because she's not sure this is for her, really. She's not sure the academic world works for her. What would you say to her, Amy?
The difficult thing that I found when I sort of thought, I want to do something for myself. Like, my dad was a market trader. He was the role model in my life to sort of open my mind that way. So I've always been around that kind of family. But I think for me, schools don't show you about, well, from when I was at school, like we had no funding, you know, like you were saying about having funding. We had no funding. We're looking to grow. I don't know where to grow. I don't know how to do it. So for me, to get anything from today is how you would look at growing. Yeah, definitely. So
you mentioned your father. Your dad worked on markets.
Yes,
yeah. Emma. You mentioned
my mom.
Your mom, yeah. Akilah, your dad. How important is it to have role models who are entrepreneurs, Emma?
Yeah, it's vital. I mean, we've mentioned parents. They don't have to be parents. This is one thing that I should say. And it almost makes me worried when everyone kind of says, well, my dad, my mum, because then people will think, well, if I didn't have a mum or dad who started a business, what does it mean for me? Which also goes back to, can you teach entrepreneurship? Role models are vital. This well-known phrase, you can't be it if you can't see it. And therefore, I definitely think, and again, with female founders, we were just talking about unicorns. If you think, is there a female founder in the UK who runs a unicorn business? I would struggle. In the US, there's the lady who founded Spanx. She's a unicorn. You'd struggle to think in the UK. So it is so important. And it's almost how entrepreneurs then give back. So entrepreneurs who've been successful, or even kind of who are still achieving success, to profile themselves, offer any opportunity to come on radio shows, to be on the telly. If Business Doncaster says, can we promote you? This is what young people and people of all ages need to see. Someone who looks like me mm-hmm. has achieved this, makes it more attainable for me to do it.
I can see our audience are itching to get involved here, so let's get the microphone to you. Hello there.
Hello, good morning. My name is Beverly Giorgio and I have the Glass Strawberry restaurant in Doncaster. I've actually been on the same site for 42 years. Along with what the panel were just saying, obviously I went through education, my two grown-up daughters have gone through education, and I believe that they offer two routes. So they say, we'd like you to go to university, and this is how we're going to help you. Perhaps you should start work at 16 or 18, and this is how we're going to help you. We'll show you how to fill a CV in. Do the people on the panel believe that there should actually be a third route? And they should say, you know, you don't have to do that. You could work for yourself. You could start up something on your own. You could build it. You could grow it. Mm. And maybe show a third route. So when they have the careers fair at school and they fetch people in and they say, I'm a doctor, I'm a dentist, yes. I'm an engineer, they could then have a third route and say, well, I'm in business. And there is a third route, and you could do this. How does the panel feel? Yeah.
Rachel, let's come
to you. Do you feel they need to be explicit then, like that? It needs to be clear, because it isn't, is it, at the moment?
Yeah, it's hugely, in my opinion, lacking in careers guidance in schools. Generally, the way that people approach careers guidance is, what job do you want to do, not what problem do you want to solve? And I think there's a shift that we need to take in how we talk to young people about what they're going to go on to do in the world. We're facing a huge number of world challenges, and it's going to be the young people that are going to be we're going to be turning to find the solutions to those challenges. But that's not the way that we're talking about young people's futures. And I think if we reframe it to be, what problem are you passionate about solving? Here are the tools and techniques and systems you can use to go and bring a solution out into the world. It shifts the way that young people are going to think about what they could end up doing with their future. And one of the things that we do at university is sort of catch all of the students that have missed that message, and hopefully a bit, it's sort of a little rather late than never, but it should be happening far, yes. far younger.
How important is it for you, Akila?
Well, we were actually going to do something like that in Doncaster with the Chamber of Commerce. Actually, they were amazing, and it actually was just before lockdown, and it didn't happen. But that was one thing that, and I know they're here today, that one thing that we found was really important, and it was really for me, because I didn't go to university, and I was like, you know, there are children out there that are not going to go to uni, but there's so many people in Doncaster that actually have really good, successful businesses, but they didn't go to uni, and they've done it, they've worked hard, so we wanted to put them on the platform and say, actually, this is how we did it, this is what we did, this is how we've got to where we are, but we didn't go to uni, we didn't go through that route, and I think that's really, and again, it's going back to role models, isn't it?
Yes.
It's going back to that, so, yeah.
We're going to come back to the audience. But before we do, I'm just going to read out a statement from the Department of Education. They said, we know how vital work experience is to young people's development, which is why we're funding the Careers Enterprise Company to provide schools with high-quality work experience through careers hubs and enterprise advisors. Their recent initiative will bring more women entrepreneurs into schools to inspire the next generation of female business leaders and challenge gender stereotypes about work. This is on top of the £100 million government investment to support delivery of high-quality careers advice and guidance of people of all ages and backgrounds. So that was a statement from the Department of Education.
Back and it's not just about young women as well. It's about, you know, if you're in your 50s and you want to start
Absolutely.
A business, where do you go for education? That's part of it as well,
exactly.
My name's Jill Pollard. I was a head teacher and a maths teacher in a school in Doncaster, which in an area which was really hit by the mine closures, and aspiration was low, and I was very interested in the interviews that Paulette conducted. I was passionate about promoting and instilling ambition and aspiration in young people, particularly the girls, many of whom had the ambitions like those young girls were saying. And I just wondered, in particular, Emma, whether you felt that you had a role or your organisation might have a role in getting into schools. Like the colleague was saying here, a lot of our students, we did get them eventually to university, but then they don't come back. And that was seen as the role. And in careers advice, it was obviously, it was often very much about that and not what you were talking about. And your organisation, I just wonder whether you did work with schools in that way.
So thank you for the question. So just a statistic, first of all, at the start of every year, we carry out something called the Startup Ambition Report, where we essentially go out and say, who is looking to start a business? And this year, the figures that came in is one in every three adults wants to start a business at some point in their career. But when you ask younger people, it's one in two. So we're looking at a generation where half of young people say at some point in their career they want to start a business. Anita mentioned careers, an enterprise company. I sit on their Employment Advisory Council. Mm. And I was actually talking to Rachel about this before we came on air. The last time they had a meeting, my one piece of kind of input to them, they haven't actually invited me back since, is I actually said to them, you need to put the word enterprise in the actual title of your name, being the careers and enterprise company. So one thing we are looking at is how can you embed entrepreneurship in the education system? And when we have looked at this, we feel it's really difficult for teachers. Teachers have a very busy and active programme yes. already. So how do you then put another subject on top? That's really tough to do. So what we're looking at is how do you embed entrepreneurship across existing curriculum? So if children are taking a geography course, rather than kind of saying, right, let's teach geography, goes back to this point around problem solving, you would also say to young people, there's an issue of global warming. How would you start a business to solve the problem of climate change? So this is what we're looking at, is how do you embed that at the earliest stage? And then, of course, then children just feel more confident about it. So much, we come back to this, confidence of starting a business, confidence of going from a side hustle to a full-time business, confidence of taking your first hire, confidence of raising funding. If you've had that ingrained in you from an early age, you don't feel the fear of doing it. So it's definitely something that we're looking at.
As we are up in the north, actually, I think it's really important, as we're in Doncaster, Christine, that we do talk about how worse off women are in the north because of positioning. And, you know, you talked about the Northern Powerhouse Fund.
Is the Northern Powerhouse throbbing for women, is the question.
I think probably yes. No. So yeah, I mean, I think funding is a challenge outside of the southeast of England. And I think it's really important that these funds for the different regions are there to help businesses in the north to get that funding to them. So you know, access to funding, having these big numbers available to people to go and improve their businesses is fundamental, I think, to making sure that, you know, this is the regional disparity of funding not being so much helping here. And I think particularly in equity funding, it's very stark that most of the funding is in London and the South East. And so, you know, when we're looking at investment, people who are investing into places like Doncaster, that's certainly something that we take into account. And there are fund managers in the Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund that will just be doing that. Very important.
Can we go back to the audience then for another question?
Morning. I'm Gemma Peebles. I'm a Doncaster founder, CEO of Harrison College. So our study programme, our curriculum's all about careers, entrepreneurship, enterprise. I think I'm a rhino. I'm not quite a unicorn yet, so our logo is a rhino.
Well,
so
done.
The team know me as the main rhino in the college. I was interested to hear about the Enterprise Institute and the seven skills that you look at. I think part of what I teach our students and we work with the team is there are skills you can learn, but there are attributes of an entrepreneur that I believe can't be taught. I think there's things like risk-taking, like determination. So Harrison College didn't start as a side hustle. It was a full both feet, whole family into this particular idea. And I think how do you as a panel suggest we foster young people or any age of person, as Paulette said, how do you foster those attributes? How do you identify it in yourself and get people to identify risk-taking, determination? As an entrepreneur, a lot of things go wrong. You've got to have a lot of resilience. How do you get people to identify themselves. Actually, you've got a lot of self-drive and motivation.
Well, let's come back to Rachel, who says you can teach all of these skills.
I'm still waiting to be taught, Rachel.
Yeah, so I think it's as you say, you can break it down into component parts, which is the first thing, right? We teach the skills individually, and then they can come together. So when you talk about risk-taking, the way that we actually talk about that is it's actually largely risk mitigation. Your job as an entrepreneur is to de-risk your proposition as much as possible and then be comfortable with the risk that's left. So how do you go out and do market testing and start on a small scale with a small budget until you know you're going in the right direction? And you can teach that. I think the part about education is really important, because you can give a sandbox for people to play in when the risk isn't so high as thinking, I've got a mortgage and bills and things that I need to pay, and if this goes wrong, what happens? I think that's why it's really important to start in the education system, because students have a bit of a safety net around that. But I think the other part about grit and determination is, I think it's one of our skills is commit to growth, right? That has a big draw on resilience, and it's about having the conversation a lot of the time around, what does it mean to fail forwards? Like, I am going to do this thing that I know is going to be difficult, and if it goes wrong or something doesn't go quite as I expected, what am I going to learn from that? Mm. And separating, I am not my business, I think is a really important thing. I think a lot of women entrepreneurs particularly are like, my business is my baby. Mm. It's quite bad just if something goes wrong with the baby. So having
just get Christine in on that.
No, and I agree. And I think it shows in the research as well, because when we look at the research, women actually don't apply for loans, for example, as much as men. And then when they do apply, they don't get as much finance. And some of the reasons for that is they don't know it's there, but also that it's that kind of fear of being turned down. And I think some of the things that you're talking to play to that sort of data. And I think one of the things we're really proud of is within the startup loans, 40% of those loans go to women. So there's £1 billion worth of finance that's gone out in the past 10 years, over 100,000 loans. 40% of those are for female entrepreneurs. And you know, I think that's really successful.
So the resilience women need to have is extra anyway, because, you know, as you said, Akhila, you didn't even want to go into the room because, you know, to ask for finance, because you don't know who you're going to have to convince to give you the finance if you're going to get it in the first place. We're going to run out of time very quickly. Let's have another question from the audience.
Hiya, my name's Vicky. I run a floristry business. It's been established 60 years, but I've had it for about 10 now. I was just wondering, listening to the girls from Doncaster, they didn't seem to have the confidence or the drive to go where they wanted to go. And I wanted to mention, I've got children, I've got a family. I wondered, I know Amy does as well, does anybody else think that one of the barriers to women in business is still, even though things are getting better, I think that confidence, is it not hindered by having a family, but does anyone else feel that it's one of the reasons why we don't always push forward women in business?
Well, let's talk to both Akhila and Amy, because you run businesses and have your families. And Amy, you said to me yesterday that you've got two children now, but you wouldn't necessarily have set up your business with two.
No, looking back now, if I was to start it up and be in that home setting, you know, like I was saying to begin with, where it was chaotic and boxes everywhere, you could never bring a child up in that in that environment. I can remember saying to my husband, we need to get this sorted before the health visitors start coming out when he's born, because they will not allow all this chaotic mess. So yeah, it would definitely be
Akhila, how about you?
Well, my youngest was four when I bought the business, so and had three, so I think I was really, really lucky that I had family that, you know, my mum and dad were down the road and I could drop them off, and they had them and looked after them, took them to school, took them to nursery. So that was really important for me. But yeah, I think
so. The system needs to change. Childcare needs to
absolutely
be
absolutely. Yeah, better. Yeah.
That's a big part of what the young women were already thinking about before they became mums. Christine, can I ask you, why is it so important then that Doncaster and other areas, Doncaster was at the bottom, but not the only one, you know, with a low amount of female founders, entrepreneurs. I'm still not quite sure around all the language around that. Why is it so important that that moves forward, that we get the businesses going, that we get the growth, that we get the confidence? Why do we need that to happen?
Well, I think, if, you know, we're 50% of the population, aren't we? So why should we not be 50% of people running businesses? And I think if you look across the UK, what we need for prosperity in the UK is more successful businesses throughout the, you know, no matter whereabouts in the UK it is. And so I think from all those points of view, we need to make sure that, you know, we all get out there and we have successful businesses, no matter who we are or where we are within the UK. To drive that growth that's needed.
So if I gave you the magic wand then, Christine, to sort of solve a few problems that would encourage more women, because we do need more women to be running businesses, we need to get some equity and some equality in the workforce, what would you do?
I think, as we said, we need more people, more females out there, more female investors. We probably need more education of what opportunities are out there, both for building your business and funding your business. More role models of females, more people to help people with businesses, growing their businesses, as we've heard on the panels today. So I think, you know, it's a big problem to solve, but I think there are some of the things that the research said would help.
Well, how's your goodie bag looking, Paula?
My goodie bag's looking all right. I still need Rachel to give me the question, as somebody who hasn't got a business, and I know there are a few people in the audience who are thinking of businesses who haven't set them up yet. Just briefly, one thing that you think I need to consider in your skill set of seven things, which is the thing for me, do you think, Rachel?
How could you get started with no money? I think we use a different version of MVP. Lots of people know it as most valuable player. In entrepreneurship, we talk about minimum viable products. So what version of your idea could you launch without requiring any funding to get you started, whether that's social media or any other version?
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
I'll put that in the goodie bag. Thank you so much, Rachel.
So much good advice. I just want to say a big thank you to everybody who's been on the panel. Rachel Stockey, Christine Hockley, Emma Jones, Akila Mohammed and Amy Furness. Thank you to the audience.
Big round of applause for the audience.
That's all for today's Woman's Hour. Join us again next time.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Collider says BritBox has TV everyone should be watching. Stream acclaimed series with powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey and Matthew McFadyen. Discover new BritBox original series you won't find anywhere else. Like Three Little Birds, Agatha Christie's Murder is Easy and a new chapter of BAFTA-winning drama, Time. Stream what the New York Times calls the best of British telly, only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.